several miles off the main highway, tucked away in a secluded canyon on prime vineyard property, stands a rustic barn that was built many decades before the vines around it were planted. In that barn, a sophisticated broadcast and recording studio has been built. The barn also has a well-hidden root cellar stocked with many of the world's most exceptional wines, only to be shared with guests who secretly come to offer their insights and tell their stories. Guests are sworn to secrecy and are shuttled to the studio aboard a John Deere tractor. Those who cannot make the journey in person are interviewed by satellite hookup, and sometimes the crew simply sneaks away with microphones in hand and interviews guests in barrel rooms, wine cellars, and other magical places. All of this is done like clockwork every single week, so that we can bring you another episode of Grape Encounters Radio.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow.
If you did not hear last week's show, you need to go to grapeencounters.com and check it out, because that was the show where Sarah Schneider, wine editor of Sunset Magazine, and I took the Ian Cobble Challenge. Ian, of course, the master somm who starred in the movie Somm, now probably the most high-profile somm in the known world. While we were doing that test, Ian was far away, but he did listen in. I got a chance to catch up with him this week. He's in the Napa Valley, where he comes to really just have people kiss his ring. Anyway, Anyway, we are at the Gargiulo Vineyards in Oakville, and Ian, welcome.
Well, I'm glad we have a nice setting here. Looking at the beautiful Mayacamas Range to the right, we're looking at Screaming Eagle about 300 yards in front of us, and to the left I can see Dalla Valle up on the ridge, and we're sitting in some of the, you know, most sought after vineyard land in the New World, actually.
Let me ask you a question. Do you know those guys at Screaming Eagle well enough that we could just kind of go in there and do a really extensive tasting for the rest of the day?
No, actually, I don't.
You don't?
No, I don't. I don't know. We could walk over there and see how it goes, but no.
Dude, come on. Let's just walk in. I host a high-profile radio show. You are the best-known somm in the known world. We knock on the door. They're going to go, wow. Or maybe they're going to say, get out of here, we're closed.
Well, it's a little red barn. I don't really think anyone's there.
You would think for the price of their wines, they could afford something more than that little red barn over there.
Oh, I do see a few gunmen actually outside standing.
There's guys. I'm just kidding. There's turrets on the red barn.
Pretty funny, yeah.
Really, talk about the kind of wines that come from a place like this, because we're talking top of the heap, right?
Yeah, you know, some of the priciest wines in the valley. This is where this volcanic soil kind of fell onto this little stretch of East Oakville and creates incredibly dense Cabernet, very elegant tannins, and historically some of the most high-scoring of the valley, I would say.
This is legendary turf.
It is. Definitely everything around this area of Oakville is probably some of the most expensive real estate in the New World.
You're kind of an old world guy, though, right?
Yeah, you know, I typically drink European wine. I love California, I love Oregon, love Washington. I think Argentina and Chile are doing a great job, New Zealand. It just so happens that I find myself drinking a lot of Rhone reds and Piedmontese reds as well, and a lot of wines from Tuscany. I love white Burgundy, I love Chablis, I love Austrian whites, but I drink everything. I just like fresher styles of wines, and I don't really like wines that have a lot of candied, rich, ripe fruit, because for me that is kind of tiring. I don't really like high alcohol wines. I don't really find so much pleasure, and I think it really comes back to I have my own palate and so does everybody else. I just drink what brings me pleasure, and we were all born with different DNA, and we all find different attributes we like about wine. Some of us like tart, citrus, high acid mineral wines. Some of us like really off-dry, sweet, tropical wines, and that's okay. We all have something
there
we like.
There are no rules here.
There are no rules.
The wines I used to drink always suggested that I was an old world guy, because if you looked at the wines that I was drinking, you would say, you're a peon. Sorry. Anyway, you got a chance to listen to Sarah and I talking about the Blind Six. For those who didn't get to hear the show, tell them, first of all, what the Blind Six is, because a lot of people may not know what you're doing after the fame and glory of Somm.
So we have a business, Somm Select. The basis of our business is offering one wine a day. I write a story about a unique place in the world, a small farmer, typically organic or biodynamically grown. And every single day you go to our website, it's a free subscription service. You will actually get an email with a kind of a presentation telling you how much fruit, how much earth, acid, tannin is in the wine, the story about the people, the place, and
so every day I get that.
Every day you get that, and you sign up for free at psalmselect.com. You put in your email, and it's very simple. Another part we started in December is something called the Blind Six. The Blind Six is three whites, three reds. They're wrapped in black paper, numbered 1 through 6, classic wines. Right? These are wines that come from a specific place in the world that have a classic expression. So for example, we're not going to give you a Chardonnay from Namibia, okay? Because there's no known classic example and expression of that place that if you can give it to somebody who's been in the wine business like Oz Clark for 40 years, you're going to have no idea where
that comes
from.
So you're not trying to fool us.
No, they're classic wines from classic places that are testable examples that if you are training for the Master of Wine or the Master Sommelier exam, you could possibly get these wines. These are classic examples of, for example, Chablis or Grüner Veltliner from Austria, Carmenere from Chile, a Malbec from Argentina, made in a classic style, which ideally, depending on when you open the wine, obviously wine changes every day, has a classic expression of place. And you should, based on the way it looks, the way it smells, the way it tastes, there's clues in every glass of wine of where it comes from.
Now, you know that we didn't have time to do that.
Right.
Actually, we had a total of 20 minutes to do this. How did we do?
You did very well, considering
really?
The time. Yeah, you did very well.
So I said that we would have got a D. I think Sarah said B minus.
You know, I'm very proud of you. I'd give you a B. I'd give you like a, you know, 80%.
Just so you know, if I came home with a B on my report card, my parents would give me extra chores. Like straight A's or nothing. So a B might as well be a D.
Yeah, well, you know, well, you were smiling, right? That's more important than anything.
But I had no time to study. Well, I mean, honestly, I mean, we're sitting there. It's like, quick, hurry up.
You know what? You're having a good time. I could tell. That trumps everything.
That's the thing that I think is the best part about Psalm Select. And it's so amazing because this was my idea before it was yours, and you stole it from me. No, I've been telling people for a couple of years now that when you go to a dinner party or something, hide the label. The label is not your friend.
Well, I think the greatest part about what we do with the Psalm 6 is you can take it very seriously. You can sit down with 6 glasses and have a third party pour the wines like you're in an exam setting. But how I say to most consumers, open up a wine and put it in a decanter and serve it as the first course of a dinner party and pour it around the table and talk about it. And don't take it too seriously. Just do you like it or not? How much do you think it costs? Where do you think it's from? You'll discover new wines. Maybe you never knew that you loved Viognier. Maybe you never knew you loved Chenin Blanc from Sauvignon in the Loire Valley. Maybe you had no idea that you were going to become a Burgundy lover for the rest of your life because you've been drinking typical wines. Maybe you drink Napa Valley Cabernet every day, which is no problem. But a lot of people, I think, you know, become used to drinking one wine every time they sit down for dinner. And for me, that's like keeping the same CD in your car for 7 years.
Amen. Are you getting tired of people handing you a glass of wine and saying, "What is it?"
No, I mean,
you get that all the time.
No, but
though,
I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen? I'm wrong. I mean, it's not the worst outcome. What? Everyone expects you maybe to be right all the time, but I tell people that there's so many different variables with every glass of wine, depending on if it was aged in your car for 3 hours in the hot summer sun. Every single wine has a different personality depending on when it's opened, how it was stored, where it came from, the vintage, what type of yeast it was fermented in, if it was put in new American or new French. I mean, at the end of the day, of course, you want to become a master sommelier, you have to pass this exam. But after that, wine should be fun. And if somebody gives you a glass of wine and it makes you nervous, then you've lost.
Okay, you made me nervous a little while ago. You know why?
Why?
Because I'm trying to drink this great cab, this fantastic cab produced here on this property, and a fruit fly went in it. And what I would normally do is fish that fruit fly out. And you said no, because it ruins the flavor.
Yeah,
fruit
there's
fly,
an enzyme.
Ian?
You know, once, you know, that's why I gave you the, there's another glass on the table. Now you finished it, actually. Look at that. You loved it.
I did love it. But I kind of want to drink the fruit fly one, too.
It's right there. There's still the fruit fly actually swimming around in it, actually, literally. So go right ahead.
So if I go here and I just swirl this glass and I go,
It smells totally
I'm getting
different.
Pepper.
Yeah.
I'm getting fruit fly.
Absolutely.
Do you know how many fruit flies are probably in every bottle of wine?
Well,
they grind them up in there, you know.
Let's not talk about the uglier side of the wine business.
So Sarah and I had a wonderful time doing this. And I do want to say this. It's a little pitch for you. You're not paying me for this, right?
No.
Swear.
I swear.
Cross your heart.
Cross my heart.
All right.
Absolutely.
Double pinky swear?
For sure.
Okay. You haven't given us a dime, right?
No, I sent you six bottles.
Oh, you kind of gave me money, sort of.
Yeah. I wanted you to have some fun and blind taste.
It was so well done. I thought the packaging was absolutely amazing. The way you presented it was so professional, so beautiful, but you owe me a Korvin needle because there was one bottle that had a screw cap, and the Korvin, of course, has the needle that goes down through the cork, and I shoved it in there, and I gave it the little push, and I broke it in half.
I'm sorry about that.
Can you put a warning label? Because Korvin's the best way to do this.
Yeah, I think so. I think what we have to do is tell people to maybe touch the top with maybe your finger and make sure it's not metal.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. Yeah, I never thought you'd send me a screw cap bottle.
That brings up a good topic. Screw caps, dude, they're not bad.
Screw caps rock.
They're great. There's a lot of $100 bottles of wine that are bottled in screw cap.
I know, I'm almost over it now.
But I'm sorry, I will definitely, I'll buy you a new needle.
You will?
Yeah, I'll send it to you right away.
No, I already got a new needle. Send me something. Send me a bottle of Screamin' Eagle.
No problem.
All right, let's take a quick break here. We'll come back. We're talking to Ian Cobble. He's my favorite Psalm by far. We're going to come back with Ian Cobble in just a couple of minutes. A very rare and wonderful opportunity to realize that no matter how smart and how much somebody knows about wine, wine should just be fun.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be back with more Grape Encounters after this.
Grape Encounters Radio with Derek Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
We're all guilty of sin. We open a costly bottle of wine and recork it with the intent of drinking the rest later. But later comes and goes, and that delicious wine also goes. South, that is. The Korvin is the most reliable way to enjoy your wine without any concern about the unconsumed wine going bad. And while the Korvin costs a little bit more than other preservation systems, it does something they don't. It works. The Korvin is a beautifully engineered handheld device that gives you access to your wine through a small needle that you gently push straight through the cork. Argon gas is injected into the bottle, while as little or as much of the wine you want flows right into your glass. The argon gas keeps your wine so safe, it's as though you never opened the bottle. Want to learn more? Click the Korvin link at grapeencounters.com. A wine is a terrible thing to waste. Get your Korvin at grapeencounters.com.
As a Grape Encounterist, you know how much fun an hour of conversation about wine can be each week. But there's no way we can pack everything into a show. Listeners just like you are turning the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook group into an incredible online community where like-minded wine lovers converse, share information, and inspire each other with posts on a variety of interesting topics. If you haven't discovered your community, join in today on Facebook by entering Grape Encounters Radio.
If you have a thirst for wine knowledge, be it trivia or the latest trends, there's a website that's overflowing with content that we've created just for you. It's GrapeEncounters.com, where you'll find literally hundreds upon hundreds of stories and interviews covering almost every topic imaginable. From the world's most colorful and renowned winemakers to unforgettable wine adventures, there's something for every wine lover at GrapeEncounters.com. Go ahead, log on, uncork, pour, swirl, and sip.
Big, fun, and chatty, with a hint of sarcasm. This is Grape Encounters Radio. Here's David Wilson.
I need a good man and a glass of wine. Someone to say it's gonna be alright.
Back with Grape Encounters and my very special guest, Ian Cobble, and we are actually sitting overlooking the most beautiful scene in the Napa Valley. We're in Oakville. Some of the most legendary wineries are surrounding us. But more importantly, you know, after I saw the movie Psalm, I said, my one wish in life, drink Cabernet in Oakville while interviewing Ian Cobble from Psalm.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
What was the biggest surprise that you ever had tasting a wine blind?
You know, I've been given Charles Schaub a few weeks ago. My friend, the director of the movie Psalm, gave it to myself and DeLynn. And we thought it was a $15 to $20 bottle of Spanish white with no oak. But, you know, it was a
That's a way bigger blow it than Sarah and I did.
No, well, we totally blew it. But the thing was, you just have to be honest. And they gave it to us blind, and they said it was classic from a different place of the world, and it was tropical, it was bitter. It wasn't bad, to be honest. But the thing is, they tell you that there's more things than just Chardonnay in there. So they're taking tons of different grapes, not putting oak on them. And there's things that happen. Who knows what happened?
But if you enjoyed it, you enjoyed it.
No, it was. I didn't think it was a great wine, but we were told that it was a classic wine of the world, which it wasn't. And we both thought it was around a $15+ bottle of Spanish white wine, and we were wrong.
But
and
see, that's already unfair because they're setting up an expectation.
Well,
by
you know,
saying that, right?
If I tell you that a wine is classic and you're blind tasting it, it should be classic from a specific place in the world. You can't just get a Malbec that's been grown in Idaho and give it to somebody and expect them to nail it, because how much Malbec is grown in Idaho? A very small amount. And is it a classic expression of place? And that's why when you're sitting down at an examination, they're giving you six wines that are absolutely classic for where they come from in the world. Just because you're a master sommelier doesn't mean that I can blind taste a Chardonnay from Bolivia and tell you where it's from. It just doesn't happen.
Okay, so tell me four places that people don't normally expect to get great wines from, U.S. or otherwise, that they should start exploring right now.
Beaujolais. So the Gamay grape has been tarnished by a lot of the horrible Beaujolais Nouveau that landed on our shores during the 70s, 80s, etc. So Cru Beaujolais, under $30 a bottle, you can get some of the best in the world. I would also say Malbec from Argentina, if you like a little bit more rich style, a little bit rounder character. I think Malbec from Argentina, it's obviously not off the beaten path, but I think it's something that people should go to for high quality wines, especially $15 to $20. You can get some very good wine. South African Chenin Blanc, I believe, is taking the world by storm. Really inexpensive, very high quality, fresh, high acid styles, very mineral driven. If you like New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, look to South Africa for their Chenin Blanc. Other than that, white wines from Austria, particularly from the Comptal, the Kremstal, and the Wachau, northwest of Vienna. There's a grape we call Gruner. It's actually Gruner Veltliner, the most widely planted white grape in Austria, and it's incredible. It's a little bit spicy, high acid, very fresh. My girlfriend and I have it all the time at home because it goes well with fish, light dishes, etc.
You spent a great deal of time in Portugal working for $2 an hour.
Yes.
The top four wines on Spectator's top 100 list, three of the four were from Portugal. Is Portugal really coming on strong now?
Yeah, there's some great wines coming from the Douro. It's an incredible valley that's lined both sides by these very steep terraces.
Is that where you worked?
I was in the Douro. Yeah, I was above a town called Pinhão. I'm working for Royal Oporto, Real Companhia Velha, but I was 23 years old. I was working for $2 an hour, and I was stepping on grapes, adding yeast to fermentation tanks, and basically—
You were stomping grapes?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was great. So it's fun for about 30 minutes, and then it's work. But the guys who were doing it were 13 years old to 80, doing it 17 hours a day. I did it once for 5 hours one day. But there was a group of 15 or 17 guys that were in their shorts, no shirts, arm in arm, walking back and forth across these big pools of red wine.
Did you wash your feet really well?
No, nobody washes any feet.
Actually, if you stomped grapes now, being a celebrity master somm, you probably would, I think, raise the price of the wines.
I don't know about
No,
that.
I think they would. Ah,
you
man,
know,
I
the function the function of stepping on grapes is just you're not crushing the seeds and you're not over crushing the stems and extracting bitterness, but it's traditionally the way that wines were pressed, and that's it.
All right, people are going to be really irritated with me if I don't do this, so I'm sorry, I gotta do this, Ian.
Yeah,
you have a little bit of that Cabernet right there.
Yes.
Okay, quickly tell me about it. He sniffs, he sips, and here we go. Ian Cobble.
Yeah, no, it's very intense. It's got this soft kind of ripe plum, black cherry, black currant, violets. It's a hint of chocolate and cocoa kind of characters as well, but it's got a lot of freshness and acidity for being from 2008 volcanic soil. This is the wine from the state, their top wine. It's quite expensive. It's over $200 a bottle.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I'm drinking the fruit fly glass now.
Yeah, well, you can't.
They could probably still get $100 with fruit flies, probably,
I think. Well, the wine is still good. It does affect the wine. But at the end of the day, I think Argiulo is one of the most beautiful locations in the Napa Valley that everyone should visit. It's pretty hard to get an appointment, though. It's not a place you can just stop by.
They gave us the run of the place.
Well, there's no one here. We're sitting right on this beautiful vineyard.
They locked the tasting room, though. I went up there. I tried to even jimmy the door.
Well, you know, they were closed. I called in special favor, and they let us
the
come.
The French laundry needs to use the same locksmith that these guys use here.
Well, why don't you walk over and see how it goes? And I'll just watch from a distance.
All right, Ian Cobble, if you want to check out what Ian is doing, it's psalmselect.com, right?
Psalm Select, yeah.
All right, so you can go online there. You can get the Blind 6. You know what? Do it once. It's like crack for wine lovers. Is that right?
Yeah.
Ian, thanks so much, man.
Cheers. Well, it's great to
see
you.
And thanks for sending that out, because I think it's probably the most fun that Sarah and I have had on the show. It was so good.
Well, you did a great job, and I think it gives people an idea of different faces of every grape and really brings you back into the honesty of tasting a wine without knowing anything about it.
I just need one thing from you, just one thing, and we're going to go.
Yes.
You just need to repeat after me. David and Sarah got an A-. This is for my parents. It's not going to air, okay?
What if I say like a 3.1?
A-.
Sarah and David got an A-.
All right, we'll be back with more Grape Encounters right after this.
We like to talk about wine.
On Saturday, February 28th, SoCal Gives proudly presents the Bel Air Wine Festival at Herb Alpert's renowned Vibrato Jazz Club in Bel Air, California, benefiting a wide range of exceptional charities. Imagine two wine and exotic travel auctions at two galas from 1 to 5 p.m., as well as 6 to 10 p.m. Entertainment by superstar musicians from Pink Floyd, the Steve Miller Band, Elton John, Bob Dylan, Stevie Wonder, Supertramp, and more. And more than 100 world-class wines poured by six renowned master sommeliers and paired with gourmet cuisine prepared by local celebrity chefs. If you can't attend, you can still bid on wine, art, and memorabilia online. Best of all, if you go to the ticket page at BelAirWineFestival.com and use the promo code GRAPE, we've reserved 20, 50% off VIP tickets just for listeners. Remember, BelAirWineFestival.com, promo code GRAPE. I'll be there too, serving as your master of ceremonies.
We're all guilty of sin. We open a costly bottle of wine and recork it with the intent of drinking the rest later. But later comes and goes, and that delicious wine also goes. South, that is. The Korovin is the most reliable way to enjoy your wine without any concern about the unconsumed wine going bad. And while the Korovin costs a little bit more than other preservation systems, it does something they don't. It works. The Korovin is a beautifully engineered handheld device that gives you access to your wine through a small needle that you gently push straight through the cork. Argon gas is injected into the bottle, while as little or as much of the wine you want flows right into your glass. The argon gas keeps your wine so safe, it's as though you never opened the bottle. Want to learn more? Click the Korovin link at grapeencounters.com. A wine is a terrible thing to waste. Get your Korovin at GrapeEncounters.com. And now, Grape Encounters continues.
Hello, Mr. Wilson. Welcome to the show. Don't bother adjusting the knobs on your radio. It's a special transmission. Direct to your head.
Giving you permission to do things with wine that you never dreamed of. Here's David Wilson.
No, 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 Mr. Wilson. This isn't where you should be. Everybody's waiting patiently.
And your Grape Encounter continues. I'm David Wilson. And you know, from time to time, I bring home souvenirs from the wineries I visit. But there's one winery that I have more souvenirs from than any other. Well, it's actually a family-owned family of wineries, and every year they make more and more of the good stuff. Now, while I really can't sing enough praises for their world-class wines, there's a different reason I feel a special kinship to these winemakers. It's because the name of the operation is Wilson Artisan Wineries. And thanks to them, I can get hats, t-shirts, refrigerator magnets, and even coasters with my name on them.
Wilson!
So, as I don my Wilson Winery ball cap, I'm pleased to welcome two special guests to Grape Encounters Radio. However, I should mention that I'm currently on their turf in the Sonoma Valley of California wine country. First, I'm pleased to have with me now, Sydney Wilson. She is the head of hospitality marketing.
Yes.
And never been on the radio before.
No.
All right.
Can't tell.
And Chris Barrett is here, and he makes some amazing wines. I got a chance the last couple of nights to stay at St. Anne's Crossing Winery. You make the wines for St. Anne's Crossing and also Pezzy King, right?
I do.
And first, let me start with the hospitality end of things, because talk about hospitality. I have had the chance to stay in the most lovely accommodations. In fact, I actually texted my wife some photographs and said, we're moving. And it's great because it says Wilson on the door anyway. But no, this is a beautiful place, Sydney. And you've got several places like this, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We have 6 wineries that have accommodations ranging from suites to houses. And then we have 2 downtown inns.
So are they all in this kind of pristine, beautiful condition?
Yeah, this is the standard that we kind of have at all of them, so that if you stay at one, they're all different, but you have the same feeling amongst all of them.
This may not mean something to everyone, but it means something to me when you walk in the kitchen and there's a Wolf range, you know you're staying at the right place. I think there's like 27 burners on that stove.
What's fun about it is that we can utilize all these properties for the wineries too. We just did a winemaker dinner at one of the bed and breakfasts up in Healdsburg, and so it's nice to be able to have that as a place to hold events.
So you actually do little winery dinners we've done, at these kinds of places.
Absolutely. We've done winemaker dinners right here. We'll have long tables right here, and the caterers can use the kitchens right there, and it works out great. People love it. It's nice and intimate.
Great big decks and things like that. There's a lot of outside space. Are people now looking more at these kinds of places to stay as opposed to cramming themselves into a hotel room?
Absolutely. There's more and more movement towards renting a house and feeling like you live here and getting the firsthand experience, because you're right on the winery. Your steps from the vineyards, you have the barbecue, the full kitchen. You can have your kids come. You're not stuck with 12 other strangers coming down for breakfast, but we do have that option. So if you are just a couple and you want to meet some people, you stay at the inns. If you want to have just you and your family, the houses are a big thing. Bringing your pets is another big thing, as more and more wineries are pet friendly.
Yeah, so fantastic. What a great way to experience wine country. I don't think I've had a better accommodation experience than this. It just feels so good to just stretch out and enjoy it. And when you look at the price of doing wine country this way, it's super economical. I mean, at first, when you look at the price, you go, wow, that's a lot. But then you think, no, not when you are taking a group of people and you're going to have to pay for 3 or 4 rooms. And what are you going to do with the kids? Because it would be easier to leave kids here if you wanted to do a little tasting, and there'd be plenty for them to do, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
There's even cupboards full of games.
Yeah.
I like that.
We're moving more and more towards having more family friendly stuff at the houses. You know, even if you bring your little kids, we have pack and plays, we have baby toys, bath toys, strollers, kind of all that sort of stuff. Plus older kid games, DVDs, books, board games, all that.
Hot tubs.
We're moving into hot tubs.
I missed the hot tub.
Hasn't made it this way.
We redid the guest house up at Pezzy King, and that was one of the things that Ken did, was put a hot tub in.
Ken did not do that. That was all me.
Oh, well, I stand corrected. I stand corrected. But I did get to utilize it, so I'm excited about that. But it is. It's an experience, and I think it's not just hitting up a room and having to go out from there. You're already there.
I think it's smart, too, because anybody that's listened to Grape Encounters for any length of time knows that I'm a big advocate of setting the right mood for wine tasting. You know, the more you can imprint some sort of a happy experience onto that particular wine, the more you're going to enjoy the wine, don't you think?
Well, sure. Then you take it home with you. You've seen the vineyard, you've been out there, or you've stayed in a guest house that's in the vineyard. And so you know where that wine comes from. And I think people are a lot more educated about wine, and they want to know exactly where that bottle's from.
Okay, let's talk about the Wilson brands for a second. Wilson Artisan. So under that umbrella are how many wineries now? And the way that you got into the business is really interesting. It's your mom and dad, right?
Yes.
So tell us all about it.
So there's 8 wineries, 7 in Sonoma County, most in the Healdsburg area. St. Anne's Crossing is down in Sonoma Valley, and Jackson Keys is up in Mendocino. Ken was one of the first hilltop growers in the area and grew grapes and sold them for years and years and years, and then started Wilson. He joked that it would end up being cheaper for him to own a winery and make his own wine than spend the amount that he was spending on wine and drinking. So he kind of told my mom that he was buying a winery. I mean, it was just a shell of a winery.
Kind of told her?
Yeah, and said, you better start learning how to make this, because you're on in about 6 months.
No kidding.
So she had a biochem background and learned from kind of just doing. And she went to the wine library in Healdsburg, which is a great resource. And she kind of just read up on everything. And then Healdsburg is a great community of winemakers. And so she got a lot of input from other winemakers in the area. And that gave her a lot of feedback on everything. And her first vintage, she actually won a gold at the Harvest Fair.
No kidding. But learning to make wine that way is kind of like learning to fly a jet.
Yep.
You know, just
trial and error.
Just read about it and get behind the controls.
Sure. The errors with wine are usually really bad and they taste really bad. No one wants to drink it. So you got to figure out what to do with that. So that's the unfortunate side. But when you have good grapes, it's easier to then go downstream with them and just maintain that quality. And that's kind of what you really want to achieve. I grew up with my dad making wine with his buddies in the garage, and I've definitely seen the good, bad, and the very ugly.
Have you ever screwed up a batch of grapes personally?
Well,
you're not going to admit that on the radio, probably.
No, definitely not.
Okay.
And I wouldn't say ever screw up. Maybe you just haven't achieved what you would want to with the grapes, but screw up is not an option.
No, it isn't. And it's easy to do too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Things can go south very fast.
So let's talk about competitions for a second. You've done very well in recent competitions. I think you recently just got the sweepstakes award from the
Chronicle.
Chronicle competition.
Yep.
So what does that feel like? And what does it feel like when you don't medal, or maybe that's never happened to you?
it feels really good. It's something that I don't necessarily strive out. You know, when I set out to make wine, I don't think, oh, this is going to be a slam dunk, but it's really nice. It's nice when they go your way, because there's a lot of hard work in this industry, from growing out in production to being on the bottling line. There's a lot of facets to this industry that are very hard, and it takes a lot of hard work. And so when you get to have some recognition like this, it does feel good.
Job security too.
Yeah, that helps.
but I'm only imagining that when you find out that you've just won a double gold, or you've won sweepstakes or best of class or something like that, that really kicks both that wine and the brand right in the seat of the pants, doesn't it?
It does. It's a huge awareness for the winery. And so people want to try it, and not only try that wine, but then they want to try your other wines as well. And so that's really the attraction that something like this brings.
Chris Barrett is the winemaker for Pezzi King Wines and also St. Anne's Crossing Winery, which is part of the Wilson Artisan Wines family. And we're sitting in one of the Wilson guest houses, which is a place that I'm going to purchase someday from them. Love this place. And across the table from me is Sydney Wilson. She is the head of marketing for their hospitality division. And I want to go back just for 1 second and just touch on one last thing about the wine awards. When they announce the awards, how quick is the groundswell of people saying, hey, I want a case of that or whatever? Is it immediate?
Yes, it is immediate. Ken called me actually, and I had no idea. And he starts talking to me, and he kind of stepped back and goes, you don't know, do you? I said, no, what? I didn't know what he was talking about. And then he goes, well, you better sit down. So, and then he told me that
you're fired.
That we had won. And so that day we all got together and had a meeting on how to handle the inventory and how we're going to allocate it. You do want everybody to try it, but you also do want to sell it, so you don't want to hold back too much. So yeah, there's a lot of strategy to that.
That's an important point, isn't it, Sydney, that you've got to hold inventory back because you want to spread it around and have somebody experience that really exceptional wine, because that's going to clue them into what they might experience with some of the other wines and vintages down the road.
Exactly, yeah. So that's why we have allocation programs on anything that does win like such a major award, because we are very small production. It's not like there's thousands and thousands of cases of it. It's
yeah, this wine, there was 300 cases produced. So that can go quick. So yeah, a lot of our bottlings are 300 cases, you know, 400 cases. The vineyard only produces so much.
I just have two questions for you. First, is it all gone? And second, if it's not, where's my bottle?
It is not all gone yet. It can be purchased at the tasting room up in Healdsburg at Old Roma Station.
So one or two last questions for you guys. Tell me really quickly, Sydney, how do people experience your wineries and your properties is, where do they go? And just give us a quick rundown on the kinds of things that would be available to people if they want to come to Wine Country, because there are people listening to this show all the way across the country. And I'm sure you have people pack up their things and come from, well, I'm guessing they come from all over the world, right?
Yeah, for the most part, all over.
So how do I start an experience here with Wilson Artisan Wines?
Well, we have a full-time concierge who can plan your entire trip from accommodations. We have a tour that's completely custom for you when you stay, for driving around to four wineries, includes lunch. You get kind of a firsthand experience, plus with an educator who can explain the history of, you know, how did grapes start growing in Sonoma County? Where was the first winery? Why were they here in the first place? So you can give us a call. We can give information about the wineries, you know, kind of as much or as little as people want.
And if somebody had to remember something to Google, what would they Google to find you?
Wilson Artisan Wineries.
Wilson Artisan Wineries. If you put Wilson and wine in, you might get me. Okay. But that's not going to help you. Although I have been known to tell people where to go, but I will direct you to Wilson Artisan Wineries. And I'm going to just say this as sincerely as I can. If all of the Wilson properties are as spectacular as the one that we're sitting in right now, I mean, it lacks absolutely nothing. It's just the most beautiful craftsmanship and just so elegantly decorated. And, you know, so many times when you do go to a vacation rental, they're beat up. And these properties are just so nicely maintained. I can't recommend it more highly. And I can't recommend the wines more highly. I had a chance to sample one of the St. Anne's Crossing Zins the other night, and it was just delicious. I mean,
thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful Zinfandel. But anyway, really fantastic wines, fantastic place. I really appreciate you guys being on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing such a great job. And you know, one last thing I want to thank you for, Sydney, is if you'll go back and thank your family for not making crummy wines. because whenever anybody asks me if I'm related to the Wilson wine family, I always say yes. But if it was crummy wine, then I would have to say, are you kidding me? You know how many Wilsons there are? Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be back with more Grape Encounters when we return.
Connecting winemakers, wine lovers, wine adventures, and all things wine from around the globe. You are listening to Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson, broadcasting from our wine cellar studio in idyllic Atascadero, centrally located in the Central Coast wine country of San Luis Obispo County, California. We're all guilty of sin. We open a costly bottle of wine and recork it with the intent of drinking the rest later. But later comes and goes, and that delicious wine also goes. South, that is. The Coravin is the most reliable way to enjoy your wine without any concern about the unconsumed wine going bad. And while the Coravin costs a little bit more than other preservation systems, it does something they don't. It works. The Coravin is a beautifully engineered handheld device that gives you access to your wine through a small needle that you gently push straight through the cork. Argon gas is injected into the bottle, while as little or as much of the wine you want flows right into your glass. The argon gas keeps your wine so safe, it's as though you never opened the bottle. Want to learn more? Click the Coravin link at grapeencounters.com. A wine is a terrible thing to waste. Get your Coravin at grapeencounters.com.
On Saturday, February 28th, SoCal Gives proudly presents the Bel Air Wine Festival at Herb Alpert's renowned Vibrato Jazz Club in Bel Air, California, benefiting a wide range of exceptional charities. Imagine two wine and exotic travel auctions at two galas from 1 to 5 p.m., as well as 6 to 10 p.m. Entertainment by superstar musicians from Pink Floyd, the Steve Miller Band, Elton John, Bob Dylan, Stevie Wonder, Supertramp, and more. And more than 100 world-class wines poured by six renowned master sommeliers and paired with gourmet cuisine prepared by local celebrity chefs. If you can't attend, you can still bid on wine, art, and memorabilia online. Best of all, if you go to the ticket page at BelAirWineFestival.com and use the promo code GRAPE, we've reserved 20, 50% off VIP tickets just for listeners. Remember, BelAirWineFestival.com, promo code GRAPE. I'll be there too, serving as your master of ceremonies.
Grape Encounters presents What We Heard Through the Grapevine.
today's top news, trends, and stories.
And it is time for the Grape Encounters news. We didn't have any Grape Encounters news last week. Well, actually, it's not that there wasn't news. We just didn't have Larry Gifford, our chief wine news correspondent, because Larry, you were up in the Great White North.
That's right. I was in Vancouver, which is one of my favorite cities in the world.
And covering the wine scene up there, I take it.
In fact, I do have a story coming out of Canada this week. For the first time ever, wine sales in British Columbia topped $1 billion in 2014.
It was actually $1,003,000,000 after your trip up there.
After that trip, yes. The International Wine and Spirits Record also projects wine sales will continue to increase at record rates in British Columbia, while hard liquor sales decrease.
What's the deal with that?
Well, one of the reasons is that Canada is drinking more wine.
Well, that would be obvious.
Yeah. Vancouver is home to the country's largest wine festival, which occurs later this month, and it's just north of the great wine regions of Oregon and Washington, so they're getting this influx of great wine. And so in Vancouver, especially in British Columbia, they're drinking more wine than the rest of Canada.
Now, do they drink more wine up there, or do they smoke more? Never mind.
Hey now. Right. Speaking of, I mentioned Washington State. Speaking of Washington, this past week we celebrated President's Day. And here's a little
one. Well, that was
you like that?
That was a reach for a transition, wasn't it? Yes. Okay, yeah. All right.
You with me?
Yeah.
So, little known presidential fact about George Washington, his favorite wine was Madeira wine.
And another little known fact about him was that those wooden teeth stained like the Dickens.
So,
this is a funny thing. I love Madeira wine.
Do you?
Yes, I do. And you can buy Madeira wines that are like, you know, 200, 300, 400 years old. But here's a funny little thing that even though they're going strong on the island of Madeira, making, you know, wonderful Madeira wines, just try buying any of it here in the States. It's tough.
Why is that?
I have no idea. Huh. And you know, as most listeners know, I also operate the Grape Encounters Emporium, which is a place where you can come drink wine with me. I have a tough time getting Madeira wines.
Wow.
I'm actually going to be going to Spain in May, the end of May, and I'm going to drag the Madeira wines back with me.
Excellent.
I'm actually taking an empty suitcase.
Reserve one for me.
Why?
Because I would like to drink one.
I'll give you a sip.
So George Washington's first order for Madeira wine came in 1759 when he asked his London agent to order from the best house in Madeira a pipe of the best old wine and let it be secured from pilferers. Do you know what a pipe of wine is?
Well, I know what a pipe is.
A pipe of wine is 126 gallons of wine.
Get out of here.
Yeah. And he ordered pipes all throughout his life.
A pipe of wine.
Yes.
Well, with 126 gallons, you know, you could actually justify putting a pipeline from Madeira to Washington.
Right. One other presidential related note. During President Barack Obama's State of the Union, many observers noted that Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg nodded off. She fell asleep, her head unhinged forward, her chin was in her chest. She may have been snoring.
Wait a second. Are we going to blame this on the wine?
Turns out she admits she wasn't 100% sober due to wine at dinner.
What?
Yeah, here's what she said. Quote, "Before we went to the State of the Union, Justice Kennedy brought in, it was an opus something or other."
An opus something or other.
Very fine California
pretty
wine.
Pretty tough to remember the word one.
She goes, "And I vowed this year, just sparkling water, just stay away from the wine. But in the end, the dinner was so delicious, it needed wine. So it was indeed opus one." And the winery has now responded saying, "We are delighted to learn we were included in such an important meal. It's a great feeling."
And I wonder how many Supreme Court decisions the justice said, this one needs wine.
This one needs more wine.
I'm going to go home and drink a bottle of that opus. Now, what is it? It's less than two. Oh!
It's opus something.
Opus zero. Opus one.
But isn't that the case when you're scrambling to think of a name? You remember like half of it and you're like, you know, the grape something or another.
Well, that certainly is an opus to the justice.
Yes.
All right.
In southern Israel, archaeologists digging through the ruins of an ancient garbage dump have discovered 1,500-year-old charred grape seeds.
Wait a second. How exactly did they know it was a garbage dump?
Ooh, I smell
apparently there was...
You don't know the answer to this. I'm going to tell you right now.
Okay, tell me.
No, you don't know.
Tell me.
I don't know. That's what I'm wondering. They found a trash can there?
I think they found old tires.
They find old Coca-Cola bottles or something like that?
They're calling it an ancient dump. I'm going to go with it.
All right, go ahead.
Researchers believe these seeds were used to make one of the finest wines of the Byzantine Empire, known as Gaza wine, after the nearby port. Well, here's the cool part. Researchers now plan to sequence the DNA of the grape seeds and recreate the wine.
Recreate the wine.
From the DNA of the seeds. How cool is that?
It's pretty cool. What if the wine's not good?
Well, so over the course of years, you know, they've been digging this out. They've found jugs of old wine and stuff. Somebody's determined this was excellent wine.
Let me tell you something, by the way, just a little aside. For listeners who should happen upon a bottle of wine from Israel.
Yes.
Please note that Israeli wines are amazing. They're making some tremendous wines there. So there.
Really?
Hats off to Israel. You guys deserve more credit than you're getting for those amazing wines.
Do you find that's true that there's a lot of places now making wines that people just are overlooking?
Well, there are a lot of places that are making wine that never make it to the U.S. It's maybe actually the downside of there being so much good wine made in America is the fact that we just don't import a lot of the great wines that come from other countries.
Okay.
And it's kind of a shame.
It is. It's too bad.
Like, you can't get Russian wine here.
I heard that's not very good.
It's terrible.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Our final note is a funny. Wine made the Tonight Show monologue from Jimmy Fallon this week. Here's what he said. Schools are having a record number of snow days. The only math kids are doing is how much wine their moms drink before 2 p.m.
You realize that you're going to get a letter from the PTA now.
I know.
Yeah, the moms are just sitting at home drinking wine.
You know what they can do? They can go follow me on Twitter and share their favorite wine stories of the week with me, at Wine News Guy.
A shameless plug, Larry.
Yes, and that's the news as we see it.
Okay, so moms, if you're going to sit at home and drink wine while the kids are there, Opus 1.
And if you smell Shirley Thompson's breath, you'll find she's had a little nip of gin.
All right, that's going to do it for Grape Encounters today. Larry, we'll see you next week on Grape Encounters Radio.
Just a little Peyton Place, and you're all Harper Valley hypocrites.